When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30 tonight. We are live, we are local, and tomorrow we'll be out and about for our Friday field trip from the Crystal City Sports Pub from 2 to 6:30. Please come out, watch the show. Hang out with us and get something to eat and drink.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Eric Flack is a Murrow and Emmy winning chief investigative reporter for WUSA TV9, the CBS affiliate in Washington, D.C., and he joins us now on our guest hotline. So, Eric, it was just a few days ago that all systems were go. Everything was pointing toward Washington, D.C., getting the RFK land back, and that was a big step toward eventually building a new stadium on that land for the Commanders. Since then, it feels like things have hit a snag. So get us up to speed. What is going on and why?
I hate to be doomsday, Grant. I think at this point it's looking like more than just a snag. I mean, the government funding bill that the RFK bill was attached to, which appeared at the time to be the biggest hurdle the team and the city had to overcome to get this land in DC's control, clearing them for the way to make the stadium deal, has completely fallen apart, meaning the deal itself is dead on Capitol Hill. And now, and we can, I don't know if you want to go into the politics of it, but the bottom line is it's dead. And now we're dealing with Republicans and Democrats and a president-elect and his staff who are negotiating over ways forward and what they're ultimately going to pass, because they have to pass something at some point to keep the lights on and to keep the government open. But RFK at this point seems to be a casualty of this infighting up on Capitol Hill right now.
So, Eric, that's what I wanted to ask you about. At some point, these people that are posturing and don't like each other and are doing whatever to score points for whomever, don't they have to pass something? Like, in other words, like, eventually the government will open again, right? Like, so, right. But there's no chance anything gets attached to that, correct?
Yeah, so there are a couple options here, and the one that's good for RFK, for those who want the RFK land in DC hands, appears to be the most remote. But like you know, Jim Carrey said, you're saying there's a chance. But if somehow they resurrect some version of the bill that's dead right now, the version that was agreed upon yesterday that had RFK, and if somehow that's the version of the bill that's stripped down and they just take a bunch of spending out of that, and RFK, which is attached to that bill, slides through because there's no money, there's no savings attached to that, despite what some are saying on social media, then that is the path forward for RFK to become a reality this session. The other option is that they start anew. They do what's known as a clean bill, a clean funding bill. They basically start over. And at that point, if they're starting over, if they're just dealing with keeping the lights on for the government and avoiding a government shutdown, then smaller things, and again, this is a big deal to us, but it is not a big deal to anybody in the rest of the country. Smaller things like RFK have virtually no chance of being added on when they're literally just looking to come to some sort of agreement so federal workers aren't not getting paid before Christmas. So those are kind of the two big options you're looking for. Even if there's a government shutdown, those are kind of the two options. Although if we do shut down the government, you're probably looking at some sort of a new bill.
All right, Eric, but how did we get here from 72 hours ago when everyone's high-fiving and the ball was crossing the goal line? And obviously we're a sports show. You mentioned that you've got to brush up against politics. People are going to have to put their grown-up pants and shirts on. There was a time where we could have conversations and everyone didn't get angry. But treading is, I guess, as lightly as you need to in our little sports platform. Sure. How did we get here?
Yep, sure. So Elon Musk, who many people know, is an appointee of President-elect Donald Trump. And his mission in the new Trump administration is to attack government waste, to make government more efficient. Yesterday, he went on a large, what was formerly known as tweet storm, but an X storm, posting dozens and dozens of posts to his social media platform X, talking about the spending bill in general and what a waste of money it was. Because the reality is, and this part is true, that in addition to keeping the lights on the government funding bill, there were many add-ons to this bill. This is very typical in Capitol Hill, but this is kind of what he's charged with. So he was attacking the add-ons in the bill, many of which cost billions of dollars. RFK did not, but there were many that did. And he just kind of went on a mission. That, in turn, led a lot of the very conservative members of the Republican Party on Capitol Hill to be emboldened to come out and oppose a bill that had already been agreed to by the leadership of not one party, but both parties, Republicans and Democrats. The leaders, or we thought the leaders were of the parties, had agreed to this bill. And that's why we were all celebrating those who wanted to see RFK in DC's hands. Once Elon Musk went public with his criticisms, it kind of stirred up a base on Capitol Hill, which ultimately killed the bill. And that's where we are right now.
Where is Maryland in all of this? I mean, at one point there was like fighter jets involved and,
they got appeased, right? They got their fighter jets.
I guess they got it.
And they got their money for the bridge that fell down in Baltimore.
Right. So
this
what does Maryland stand?
This really has nothing to do with Maryland. It really has nothing to do with anybody who's in our local contingent. This was a force of nature, which is the frustrating thing, right? This was a force of nature greater than anybody who is in the DMV. This was a curveball out of left field, to use every sports analogy you can muster. That the team.
How about a touchdown that got reviewed? Oh, thank you.
All of it. I mean, it was reviewed. It was reviewed up in the booth and on appeal, even to the third base umpire. I mean, like literally nobody saw this coming. The people who were behind the bill were celebrating. They were cracking the beers. Now, the Commanders had not come out and put a statement because they wanted it to be officially official, but they didn't see this coming. The reason the Commanders didn't put out a statement yesterday wasn't because anybody saw this coming. They were just going to wait until the bill was voted on.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Right? But, and others decided not to, including the mayor of D.C., and I don't think anybody had a problem with that because nobody saw this coming. But it's not Maryland's fault. It's not D.C.'s fault. Nobody, the agreement was hammered out. Maryland got what it wanted. You know, D.C. got what it wanted. Virginia's sitting over there, you know, doing its own thing. But this was beyond us here in the DMV, and now it is very, very possible that this thing that had been 10 years coming is now falling apart at the last
second. So Danny and I have compared this to, or the analogy that we were using yesterday that Danny came up with was, like, the bill is a ship, and the RFK land is a barnacle.
Just a barnacle on the ship.
It's just a little barnacle on the ship, right? Elon doesn't care about the barnacle, does he? I mean, the barnacle is going to not go through because it has to be attached to a ship so that it can get to the next country. But there's no other ship that it can get on, and he just wants the ship to not go. Is that fair, or is he actually bothered by the barnacle?
That's correct. I mean, you know, listen, Elon did, in one of his posts, single out, retweet something that was misinformation.
Yeah,
about
I responded to that because he was wrong about that. You could elaborate on that.
No, yeah, he was wrong. Basically, a person who was on the X staff kind of called out the RFK bill. Buried into the spending bill is a $3 billion deal to give, you know, federal land for a NFL football stadium. It was just wrong on every level. And Elon Musk reposted it and said, this is the type of thing. I'm not quoting him, but basically the point was, this is what I'm talking about. The post, by the way, of the person he reposted has since been corrected. It's still up in a different version, just saying, we can't be giving away federal land like this. By the way, D.C. taxpayer money is going to go to clean up the land if they would give D.C. the land one way or another, even if there's not a stadium there. But that's kind of – so he does – but he doesn't care. You're right. He does not care about this RFK bill. He was on a tweet storm. He was on a post storm. He was on an X storm, whatever you want to call it. And he did, in fact, mention RFK. But it is much bigger than this. Then he does not care about RFK, but RFK very well, because of the way Congress works, may potentially, and at this point is on course to die because it's got caught up in this political fight over funding.
Which was always part of the problem.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this is so much bigger. It should be so easy. Josh Harris's stadium in the arena I saw in Philly, the news today. Like, there's no fighter jets. There's never any bridge for a city that isn't the city that you're trying to put the arena in. The getting of the land has been mission impossible. This is why I keep screaming Maryland over and over and over again. It's just so easy. Westmore will meet you there in a Terry McLaurin jersey with a shovel tonight at 11 p.m. Like, I'm so tired of this. All these people that don't go to the stadium tell me that they can't build another stadium there. I keep going to the crap stadium. And I'm ready to build another one. So let's go back for a second. So then, specific to the land, basically the D.C. problem of getting the land back is being held up by people that have nothing to do with D.C.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it has, well, and that's been happening for 10 years. But in this case, it's more true than ever because there was bipartisan support to give the land back to D.C. To your point, and to double punch on the point, nobody cares. Like, the Republicans and Democrats are not arguing over D.C. getting long-term control over the RFK site. Literally nobody cares. They're actually in agreement. Everybody probably wants it off their plate. But the way Capitol Hill works, the fact that the session is about to end, the fact that this is literally the last bill that Congress is going to pass before it goes home and takes its nice winter break, is the reason that RFK has to be attached to it. And now that it's dying, dead, and they're fighting over these things that have nothing to do with RFK, and whether or not a football stadium goes there or green space goes there, D.C. is once again potentially not going to have control of the land and that rusted bucket of bolts that we loved so much back in the day that is sitting there absolutely vacant is going to continue to sit there for absolutely no reason other than a funding that has nothing to do with it.
So Eric Flack with us here, kind enough to give us a few minutes to explain it to us like we're five, because we kind of are in this space.
I am five.
So this is going to sound like, I don't know, like the Oliver Twist style and the most naive question of all time. But you mentioned there was bipartisan support for this. Because there was. There are a couple stunning beats along the way. Like, I don't know who, I don't remember anyone's name anymore. But there was a Republican senator who's like, you know what? That Mayor Bowser's A-okay. Or congressman, rather. He's like, we're on the same side and we agree with everything. Let's give him the land.
Comer. James Comer.
And that started this whole process. And then, like, the Senate was all good until Steve Daines was like, not so fast. Stop enjoying yourself. But whatever. The point is, if there was bipartisan support before, I'm going to do it in a minute. Is there a chance, Eric, that there could be bipartisan support again? That the folks could come together down on Capitol Hill and reach an accord? They could shake hands over it and toast to their successes. Could it happen for true?
That's my favorite character you did. Does he have a name?
I don't know.
Like a Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah,
that was Oliver. Is that not Oliver Twist? With a bowl of porridge?
That's kind of like that. What
twist would be awesome? Oh, no, she would.
The bit you do where you go, my number could come in, you see.
Yeah. Yes, it's like a down on his luck due to the height of the depression. It's kind of the bit, you know, where it's like, my number's going to come in one day, I tell you. I'm going to keep plugging away. I'm going to keep working, and there'll be providence here. We'll be great successes, I tell you. Like that guy.
Literally from a soup line, that guy is saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you asking if they can do it this session or next session?
I don't know, honestly. My point is, like, once everybody reshuffles.
But next session means, aren't you?
Yeah, next Jeff Sessions.
I don't know what guest we had on, but most of the time we have Eric on. Wasn't it you that told us if they wait till next session, like, this is another year? It's not like it's 3 months away.
Right, but I guess that's the point. It's like, couldn't people that agreed before, I know there's some changeover, but like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of will to stop it. Everyone's like, yeah, I got it off the books pretty much, right?
Yeah, so that's the next question. I mean, that's going to be the next thing we talk about. And I think the team doesn't want to go there yet, but it's already starting to tackle those questions about whether we try this again next year. The answer to your question is yes. There is some of the infrastructure that is still in place. You do have support from people who have already supported it, that have been convinced that there's nothing wrong with it, and you're going to have Republican control of Congress. All that's going to be fine. There are always going to be new hiccups and obstacles. There's a senator from Utah. The senator from Utah is one of only two people who voted it out, who voted against this
him
bill.
And Byrne, right?
Right. That guy.
Byrne. Who's Byrne?
Oh, Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sanders.
Total opposite ends of the spectrum. We're like, yeah, this isn't good.
Danny, leave me out of it.
Sorry.
Correct. Yeah. No, that's okay. I didn't know whose turn it was to do an impression at this point.
Yeah, it was my turn.
We've gone off the rails slightly. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
It's your turn, actually.
Do you have an impression, Eric?
Do you
want to do for us?
Well,
you deliver the information.
I got nothing. I'm the worst impressionist in the world. I got nothing but RFK info for you. But listen, so like the Bernie is fine. The bigger issue is the Utah senator, because he wants DC to pay for the land, which complicates it again. He's going to be chair of that committee. He's a Republican. Republicans are going to be in control of that committee. He's going to be chair of that committee. Could that cause an obstacle next session? I'm not sure. But the other question is going to be, they were so, Josh Harris, Mark Ein, Rails, they were so close. They tasted it. They likely were popping some champagne at some point yesterday if they drank. Like, the team thought they had it, and now they don't. Maybe. Let's not give up hope. But if they don't, if it continues on this path, has that taste wet their, appetite for getting so close to being the people that bring the team back to D.C., knowing that they were that close? And this was literally a unrelated kind of just chance politics thing that they got caught up in. Do they go back and do it again and follow that infrastructure? And I think that's going to be the next question. I think it's going to be hard for them not to at least seriously entertain taking another shot at this, knowing how close they were. But, of course, if they do that, much to Grant's point, we go through this all over again. You push back the timeline. Now you're talking about 2031, unless they can do it really, really quick early in the session. And there's just, I mean, there's no guarantees, but it's possible. It's possible, sure.
That means six more years at this stage.
Yeah, seriously.
Say it with me, people. Maryland. Say it with me. It can be a nice stadium. I promise you it can be nice. You build a nice stadium.
Maryland is sitting there like the Michael Jackson emoji with the popcorn, just eating the popcorn.
Just feet up, yeah.
I bet you Wes Moore did a fist pump or two with all this news yesterday as we were all punching walls over
here. That's why they keep hanging around. They just keep on hanging around with their 600, 500, 600 million going, guys, whenever you're ready, we're ready.
All right, so let's let you out on this. Eric Flack, you can see why we want him on. He's got great information, and he delivers it in a way that even silly geese like us can understand. So my last question for you, Eric, is this is impossible to answer, but do your best. Percentage chance that they somehow get off the mat here. If we're
10%,
talking
10%.
You're giving it only 10%.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Oh, man.
You know, my ex is all over the place. It's like, the stadium's coming. The stadium's not coming. I recognize that. Like anybody who follows me and thinks that, like yesterday you told me the stadium is coming and today you're telling me it's not. Fair. But this is Capitol Hill. This is what we're dealing with. And the biggest problem is the RFK thing is such small potatoes compared to what they're fighting about. It is literally on nobody's radar anymore, and right now the idea of resurrecting the one thing it's attached to is like the most remote option. So 10 is just because there's got to be a chance that they do, because it's kind of like the easiest way to keep the lights on is to work with the bill they already have. The problem is, like, the anti-spending people have literally got on such a soapbox with this that they would have to, you know, make such fundamental changes to that current bill and the spending in it that it makes it very, very difficult.
Eric, you're the best, buddy. Thank you as always, man.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Eric Flack, WSA TV9. Make sure you're watching his coverage of this developing story. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Next, I want to go around the NFL. Three games to go. Favorites for the MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year. What do those awards markets look like? You're listening to The Fan.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nationals have made their first move of the offseason. First notable move. They've probably done something.
Couple minor league signings.
Mike Soroka, who at one point in time was the Rookie of the Year runner-up in 2015 as a first-round pick, had an awesome start to his career. Looked like he was going to be a front-of-the-rotation starter for the Braves. He's bounced around. He missed all of almost three seasons, most of 2020 and then 21 and 22. It just hasn't been the same since. Nine starts last year with the White Sox without winning a game. But the Nats are bringing him in for a flyer on a one-year contract. I'll take it. It is a player with a heartbeat who actually at one point in time had some upside. And why not kick the tires on him?
They've done this a couple times, and it has, you know, either not worked out or worked out. But again, this isn't like a 10-year, $300 million commitment to somebody. You know, these are kind of those around-the-edge type signings that, you know, again, aren't terribly sexy, but still. I mean, this is a Major League Baseball player who's 27 years old. He's looking to get something, which is to rejuvenate his image, you know, to be thought of as a potential high-salary player, trying to get himself somewhere again, and the Nationals need innings. So, you know, this has worked out before. Again, this should not be all they're doing, but that's my fear, is that all they're doing. But they signed a Major League Baseball player. I'm happy.
A real-life baseball player. I had a buddy of mine hit me up who's in baseball media not long ago, and he's like, what would you think if the Nats did this? And I said, oh, I think I would like that. What if you think if they do this? I go, I think I'd like that. He goes, you think that's a good contract? I said, oh, no, not at all. It's not a good contract at all. He's like, then what are you talking about? I said, you have to understand. There's nothing you could say that they could do that I wouldn't be happy about. It's like being hungry and saying, what if you ate this thing that's not that
good?
Well,
it's not my favorite dish, but I'll wait for my favorite one. No, I'm not. I'm starving.
Did they sign a person? 28th overall pick in the 2015 draft, who got to the big leagues almost immediately. And, yeah, flew through the minor leagues, was great as a rookie. Different guy now.
Yeah, number of injury problems.
Been utterly derailed. But big boy, 6'5", 250, 27 years old, they will kick the tires. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. Chris, what'd you make of Eric Flack saying just a 10% chance, 10% that the RFK land ends up back with D.C. like we were told a couple days ago it was going to?
I think that at this point there's a better chance of the Beatles getting back together than us getting a stadium at RFK.
I mean, how hard is it, by the way?
Yeah.
It is so
very.
Think about
this,
Chris.
Probably easier to resurrect John Lennon and George Harrison than it is to get this deal done.
He doubled up on his Beatles thing there.
Yeah.
You just said that.
Yeah. Because of the triangulation of government.
I get it.
Bodies involved.
Totally correct.
I wrote this down. Like, these are some of the obstacles, Chris. A senator in Montana. This is just for us to get a stadium that we like in D.C.
No one else has to deal with
it. A senator in Montana, a senator in Utah, Elon Musk, fighter jets, and a bridge in Baltimore. There are others, that's the short
business. Just normal stuff.
Yeah, just stadium, man.
Stadium.
I can go sit on my fat ass and watch Terry McLaurin catch
pass. Look, Grant, I know that this is an issue that's near and dear to your heart, but I think for most people, we're arguing over where a television show is going to be produced. Like, that's really what it is.
I get your point, but it's so much bigger than that. This is community. There are tens of thousands of people that will be affected by this exponentially that go to the games all the time, and there are millions over the 30 plus years or whatever it is that will be affected.
Okay, but I mean, even if they build the stadium, max capacity, 75,000, that's a drop in the bucket in terms of the total population of the DMV. So most people aren't going to own season tickets. Very few of them are ever actually going to go to games. I think wasting all this time and energy and personalizing it and like letting it get you down, it's just kind of a waste of time. Like,
you can say that about watching football too. I don't have a whole lot of control about
that.
Yeah,
but I don't have to. We don't have to get five different government agents and fighter jets to put on a TV
to watch
show.
TV.
Like, I can watch. I'm watching the games right now.
It's been harder to win, honestly. It might be. What's more difficult, getting the Commanders to have a good season or all those things? But I get your point. I got no control over it. I shouldn't let it bother me. The annoying thing to me, guys, and I'm talking to Chris, I'm talking to Danny, is everyone else gets to do it. It looks so easy for them, and not here.
So here's my annoying part. I even recognize that eyes wide open going in, that this is unique. And it's part of the reason I actually like living here. I like that there's this confluence of local and national, and the entire world watches what goes on around these parts. Here's what I can't do. It's happening. No, it's not. 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 Can't do that. Enough of that. That's the part I can't get down with, where they're basically going out of their way to be like, hey, man, get your hopes up, to then dash them again. And then it's like a classic Wizards game where, when they were actually pretty decent, where they'd get blown out and you'd be so furious. Then they'd make this furious comeback and you'd believe again. And then they'd dash your hopes for like the second time somehow that same one individual game.
We are all Charlie Brown.
Yep.
And the government agencies are the Lucy in this scenario. And it happens again and again and again. So I can't waste any more agina or mental space over it. Like, I want Luke McCaffrey to start getting targets. That's really what I'm caring
about. I'm so down with that, by the way.
I'm team Luke McCaffrey getting targets, too. We can totally agree on that. I am close to wake me up when there's news. Honestly, if we didn't do this job, I would be that guy. I would say, let me know when you break ground. Don't really care where it is, but let's do it semi-quickly.
Well, there have been a number of topics over the years that have gotten to that point for me. The name, honestly, like every time somebody wrote a column, every time like somebody protested something or whatever, Dan Snyder said what he said. It was just sort of like we started getting into that thing. And I went, you know what? When they change it, let me know.
Be careful what you wish for, though, because you got so defeated by it that you said, Make it a plural noun. I don't care what it is. Let me know.
Oh, totally.
And now you cannot stand the plural
Absolutely.
Noun.
Absolutely. Because the whole thing's an embarrassment. So I understand that. But like, I'm not saying I'm making good decisions because of it. I'm just so fatigued. I'm just so weary about it. Because it's the rug pull. It's the honest-to-goodness belief. And now I don't believe anything anymore, as I've said a million times. And I'm sure it's annoying to people. But all throughout the process, I'm like, I will believe it when it is done.
I'm looking at the responses. I just in the chat, just kind of casually to get a quick feedback from listeners. I threw in the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat. I said, "Would you guys rather wait another year for a shot at DC with no guarantee anything happens differently next year, or just start building in Maryland?" First few responses: "This is so exhausting. F it. Just build it. FedEx 2.0." That Deborah says, "Start building in Maryland. I just don't care anymore." I mean, there's a lot of people saying those types of things where It's like, you won, everybody.
The world, you beat me down.
I'm
fine.
I'm tired of it. Just go to Maryland. We should talk about that later on. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Plus, by the way, I'm being told $9 million for a one-year deal for Mike Soroka. So it is very much a big league contract. That ain't nothing for the Nationals. They just spent $9 million. So what did you set your over-under on yesterday? 9.5?
No, was it for one player?
Yeah, will they spend more than...
I think it was 15. Okay. Meaning, like, will they have one guy that's impactful?
This was not going to be that.
But so this is more than I thought they'd spend. And I'm not even doing a bit. I didn't think they would do this.
1 year, $9 million. So they plan on him being in the rotation, Obviously. Grant and Danny on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. It's time for a double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Remember tomorrow that we are out and about. Friday field trip, we are live at the Crystal City Sports Pub. You should come on out. Enjoy the show. I've heard from a couple people that plan on enjoying the program, getting some lunch,
Watching
their pals tomorrow. So we will see you out and about. That will be very, very fun. Also, news of the day, the Nationals signed somebody.
Major League Baseball.
Now, bit of a flyer, bit of a kick the tires situation, but a one-year deal for $9 million for right-handed pitcher Mike Soroka, the former first-round pick by the Braves, former runner-up in the Rookie of the Year voting, missed almost all of the pandemic year of 20, got hurt, missed all of 21, missed all of 22. For the injuries, he was on his way to being a dude.
He had some stuff.
He is going to be in the rotation. By paying him $9 million, it means he is their highest paid player on the roster.
I was going to say, that's the highest paid player on the roster.
By like $3 plus million, by a lot of money. So welcome to D.C., Mike Soroka. But with that in mind, out of the way I go. It is time for your double play, Danny.
Hit it, Darius.
When you're ready, though, Darius. When you're ready.
Yeah, whatever. You want to? That's good. We're fine.
I think everything's
it's
okay.
It's fine, right? The trailer got me.
Now
he got mad, and now he's going to hit it again.
He won't do it one more time.
Whatever you do, don't interrupt me when I start talking. Anyway. You going to do it? Yeah, I thought so. I thought he was going to do it again. The trailer got me. New Superman movie, James Gunn directing. You know James Gunn from other nerdy projects like Guardians of the Galaxy and a couple other things. DC has basically said, you're in charge now, okay? You are the captain now. The new Superman trailer looks to do a couple of things that I actually like, okay? They're not doing the origin story again. We've done this is how Superman was created. We've done it so many times. Everybody already knows it. So basically, it looks like James Gunn and company are going, let's not insult anyone's intelligence. Let's just start with we know who Superman is and what the deal is. Maybe we'll flash back to when he lands in Kansas and Ma and Pa can't find him and he's raised and he doesn't know what to do because he's young and has superpowers. Right? Let's just start with the understanding that everybody already knows Superman. And here's the thing. The trailer, which everybody should watch, it's a couple minutes long, and it's like set to the right music and looks pretty sweet. It looks a little busy. You've got characters in the DC universe that were just sort of like taken for granted that everybody knows who they are without any kind of setup. This is the risky part. Superman, yes, we know. Does everyone know Hawk Girl? Is everybody sure about Green Lantern?
Hawk Girl?
Hawk Girl, not who you're thinking of.
Is that the Hawk to a
No,
girl?
It is not. It's okay. Very. She's very different. This person is a superhero, as opposed to... Anyway, you got Rick Flagg.
Annie Hoodles.
So Frank Grillo, who you know from the Marvel Universe, he's Crossbones. He was the guy that portrayed Captain America, who's a pretty good actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He plays Rick Flagg. You've got Lex Luthor. You've got Lois Lane. You've got Supergirl. You've got Maxwell Lord, who we've already seen in other things. Mr. Terrific. There's a million different characters that we're seeing just in this preview for 2 minutes long. It might be a little too busy. I don't know, but I know this. It's got me. It's got me hoping again that we might finally get to see a good one. It also leads me to one of my hottest takes. Here it is.
Okay.
I don't think people are ready for this. I have caught so much Eric Flack for this over the years. This is one of my least popular opinions, because everybody likes to dump on everything. And here it is. The rest of the movies were too dark, just not that good. They were clunky and awkward. Okay? I like Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. I said it.
Whoa, we were having a nice time.
Peter, listen. I like that movie. I like it.
That's a tough take.
It's not great. I'm not saying it's great, but I like it. The rest of it, I think, was garbage. Batman vs. Superman, do you bleed? What are you doing, Ben Affleck? What voice is that? Justice League was clunky, thrown together, very, very poor. They had to get Superman, Henry Cavill, off of the shoots of Mission Impossible. Had to digitally alter his mustache. The whole thing was embarrassing.
Very handsome.
Everyone shouted, he's a dreamboat. I love him so much. But Man of Steel is actually pretty good. People like to dump on things. That one's pretty good. The point of the dude's story is, beat that and you're win. And I think Man of Steel is pretty good. If you do better than that, people will be happy.
Should be able to beat that. It is time for my double play. When I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it. I told you guys yesterday I wanted to watch the movie Carry On. Not the fun song. Carry On.
That's where they sing about Carrying On.
Carry On, Carry hey, bud. On. One of my favorite fun songs. And I'm a fun guy. Carry On. Starring Taron Egerton. Sophia Carson, I don't know her. Danielle Detweiler, don't know her. But my
I know Ross.
My doctor's last name growing up was Detweiler. And we know Ross Detweiler.
Yeah, we know Ross.
And Jason Bateman.
Hey, bud.
Somebody texted me today. They actually sent me an Instagram DM. It was a guy like, yeah. I asked yesterday, I said, if you guys have seen the movie, give me your thoughts. Should I watch it? Most people said it's pretty good. A couple people said it stunk. But I was already going to watch it anyway. So a guy DM'd me today on Instagram. He goes, what did you think?
Mm-hmm.
I will read my response to him right now. This is the most succinct way that I could tell you what I thought of the movie. What I said to him was, I liked it a lot, but it was kind of crappy. Now, I think I was too rude about it. I liked it a lot, and it was okay, is probably more along the lines of what I would say. There are a couple of scenes that made what I would have said otherwise was a pretty good movie. Not that.
Okay.
There is one scene, and I'll bet people could pick it out of a lineup just by watching the movie, that is so cheesy and so fake-looking and so CGI and awful. I don't know how to say this other
than it took you right out of it.
It was like, I watched it, and I'm like, ugh, that was awful. Is someone watching this and going, oh, that was a cool scene? That was a terrible scene. That one scene, and I'm just going to tell you, Danny,
okay,
what it was. I mean, it's not going to give anything away. It's a car crash scene where they're like fighting in a car and there's a car on the highway. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst looking, I don't have better terms, so I'll just say CGI again.
Yeah. Worst effects just doesn't look good.
Whatever that scene was needs to go away.
Okay.
If you take that scene out and just do a more practical, legitimate car crash, I'll move my grade up for the whole movie on a 1 to 10 scale by one full point. I hated it that much.
So, wow. I haven't gotten there yet. So I'm about 35 minutes in. And I had to come to work. The opening I thought was sensational. The beginning of the movie, like as you're turning on, I got no spoilers.
Yeah.
But you're like, you don't really see, you know, you've already seen the preview. It's popped up on your Netflix.
Yes.
You know that Bateman's the bad guy, okay? You get a shadow of Bateman just cold-blooded conducting business.
Yes, you do.
And that's how the movie starts. And you're going, very okay, cool. We're in for something here.
So I think overall it's very solid. My lead is I really liked it. I would watch it again like next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I love these kind of movies. It's not brilliantly done. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't win any Academy Awards.
It's a bubblegum. Yeah.
But it is bubblegum action. This is Liam Neeson. Who likes going to a February release, bad Liam Neeson action movie more than I do?
That's your wheelhouse.
And especially like planes involved where he's like, everybody put your hands on the seats. I have to know who is getting off this plane and who is staying. Like whatever that is, mm-hmm. I'm in. He's done one on the train.
Yeah.
He did one on a plane. He did one on a horseback riding, I think, at one point. He did it like everyone put your hands on the scooter, and everyone was on scooters for some reason.
What's
like,
next is a ship for some reason.
Yeah, he should do them all. It's like the new like speed movies, right? This movie is a hell of a lot of fun.
Yep.
It's a great time. You're going to enjoy yourself. You should watch it.
So a couple great cast members too. Dean Norris, who played Hank Schrader on Breaking Bad, is in it, and that was delightful to see him.
Who is he? I don't know that.
He's he was Taron Egerton's boss. The heavyset guy, bald dude.
Yeah, the white-haired guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy. He's in a million things, by the way.
Dean Norris?
The boss, the white-haired boss?
No, the bald guy. You see him at the beginning.
Yeah. The old guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I think you guys should watch it. It's a good time. I also love that Netflix and these places do these movies.
Yes.
This is like a major budget film. This is should be in a theater. I'd go pay $20 to see it. But I just get it with my $17, $18 a month.
Yeah, it's the right speed. It's like, I just want more extractions, more Chris Hemsworth against impossible odds,
100%.
Looking incredible with muscles everywhere. You know, like, I've been shot, but it's not effective. It just keeps going.
I am curious to get your thoughts on the scene I'm talking about when you get there.
I'm sure I'll get there, yeah.
See if you hate it as much as I did. Okay. It took me out of the film, largely. I'm like, oh, come on.
Does it feel like they skimped? Because there's so much that it feels big. The movie feels like it's big release.
I actually think it's artsy choices, if I had to guess.
Oh.
Like, it's like, we're going to reinvent how we do the chase into a crash scene. And they just did it in a way that looked like it was, like, done as a computer effects from 1996. I don't know how to describe it.
Yep.
Watch it. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it 7 buffalo wings out of 10.
That's a pretty good score.
Well, if I thoroughly enjoy something and it's fun, I'm going to normally give it a 7.
I was going to say, that's the threshold usually.
8 is like really good. 9 means this is a movie I love.
Have you given 10s? Have you ever given 10 buffalo wings out?
I try not to give 10s. Departed may have gotten one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Titans may have gotten one. But I do my best. I probably go 9.75 on my favorite films.
Yep. You just put that 10th wing down. It's like, I can't finish it.
Yeah, you leave a bite. A little meat on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Got to. Beltway Blitz is next, and we're giving away Caps tickets. Remember, Danny Cannell is on the show at 5 o'clock. We're Grant and Danny.